Everybody, and welcome to our service of Holy Communion and also our celebration of tomorrow, Anzac Day. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We read in John, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And in Psalm 95, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. And our first song of praise is Rejoice, the Lord is King. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He is seated in heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Our loving God commands us to love like him. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write your law in our hearts by your Holy Spirit." We confess that we have failed to live up to his standards. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Maker of all things, Judge of all people, we acknowledge our many sins, which we have committed by thought, word, and deed against your divine majesty, provoking most justly your wrath and indignation against us. We earnestly repent and are truly sorry for our sins. The remembrance of them grieves us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that from now on we serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins, to all those who turn to him with true faith and repentance, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You that truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and harmony with your neighbours and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to comfort you. To all that truly turn to him, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The Apostle Paul said, "This is a true saying and worthy of all people to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." The Apostle John said, "If any person sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation or perfect offering for our sins." Because of that, we can have peace with God, as the Bible says, and we are able to say, "We are the body of Christ.
His Spirit is with us.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And we can take this opportunity to pass that peace to each other, and also to check if we started recording. We did. Good. You can test. And we can continue that sharing over morning tea. But for now, we continue in the knowledge of what God has done for us. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right to do so.
Oh, sorry. Who's in charge here? Me. It is very good, right, and bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we praise and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
"Holy, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord Most High.
We join in the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies.
We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ,
and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood,
that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in your tender mercy you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. He made there a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And he instituted and commands us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we, receiving this bread and wine, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Amen.
Amen.
All who love Jesus may join us at the Lord's table. The small cups contain grape juice, the bread is gluten-free, and you can stand or kneel to receive communion. Even we've got nice cushions there for you today. And we encourage families to come together.
Father, we who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and have received these pledges of his love, thank you because you graciously feed us with the spiritual food of his body and blood. By this you assure us of your love and forgiveness, and that we and all your faithful people are true members of his body and of each other in him. Remember your church, which you have purchased by his blood, and gather it in holiness into the kingdom you have prepared for it. Make us faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection, that at his coming we may go out with great joy to meet him and be found worthy to worship you with all your saints forever. Amen.
The colic for today, well, not quite for today, I've been asked to read the colic for Ascension Day, which is subtitled Christ Risen, Ascended, Glorified. Let us pray. Eternal Father, whose Son Jesus Christ ascended to the throne of heaven that he might rule over all things as Lord, keep the church in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of his peace, and bring the whole created order to worship at his feet, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The next few prayers relate to Anzac Day. Lord of all the ages, thank you that in times past men and women stood for righteousness in the presence of evil and aggression. We thank you for those who gave their lives in the service of freedom, for all who in battle suffered, for all who were taken prisoner, for all wounded in body, mind and spirit. We thank you for so many who gave so much in staying behind, all those who worked in the factories, offices and on the land. God of eternity, deliver us from the bonds of hatred. Give us strength to discard the power of revenge. Help us make this world a better place by the example of those who in past times defended and won freedom. To God Almighty, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, we give praise, honour and glory, now and always. Amen.
Amen.
I found a prayer for ADF, Australian Defence Force chaplains. Their burden is heavier than most. One chaplain I know, one of his jobs was to help lift the dead bodies of Australian soldiers out of armoured vehicles after they've been struck by an IED. Holy Spirit, We thank you for calling men and women to serve as chaplains on the battlefields of the past and in the Australian Defence Force today. Make all chaplains trustworthy companions to ADF members on local bases and on international missions. Guide them to the conversations where the grace of Jesus Christ will be made known, in life and death situations and in the ordinary obedience of the Defence Force life. Give them a faith worth sharing. Among peacekeepers, on disaster relief missions and in time of war, shelter them with your love and wisdom as messengers of hope and peace. Through our Saviour, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's finish up with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Please settle down. The spot today is the Anzac Day spot. The genesis of this talk started a couple of weeks ago. I was watching a video clip on the TV. Helicopter was going across. There was a whoosh of an anti-aircraft missile, a ball of flame. And I thought to myself, a successful anti-air ambush. Well done, lads. And very shortly after that, I said, and I've just watched two men die. Found a useful definition of war, somewhat cynical one perhaps. It says old men who know each other send young men who don't know each other to kill each other. Why? Killing each other has got to be the stupidest way of resolving issues ever invented. I thought on that a bit and thought, what's the answer to the why? And I was led to the seven deadly sins, of which I can find six lead to war. Sloth doesn't. Lust, gluttony, greed, wrath, envy, and pride. All of those lead to war. There's a thing called just war theory. I didn't spend a lot of reading it, but I found an absolutely wonderful summary of it that says, sometimes war is not the worst option. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the first landing at Anzac Day. Sorry, at Anzac Cove. At Anzac Cove, on other battlefields in Europe, in the Middle East and Africa, and other scattered locations around the world in the First World War, young men of many nations died or carried physical or mental scars for years afterwards. In the Second World War, I know my father's battalion, they talked a lot of service in the Middle East and the good times. They didn't talk much about the war in the Pacific against the Japanese. They didn't talk much about their dead friends. And occasionally, one of them might say, I'm having a bit of trouble sleeping. And that was as close as you got to admittance of a mental or physical scar. The Canadian surgeon, Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, wrote a poem in 1915 for the funeral of a fellow officer. We know it today as In Flanders Fields. In Flanders Field, the poppies grow between the crosses row on row. They mark our place, and in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Please stand while I recite the Ode of Remembrance. They shall not grow old as we who are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Lest we forget.
Thankfully, we have a Lord of life. I'm going to sing now, Lord of our life and God of our salvation.
The details of the four readings are on the screen behind me. From Psalm 118. The Lord is my strength and my defence. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks in the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. From the book of Revelation, John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is yet to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The passage from Luke 24. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. The first 11 verses from the first chapter of Acts. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
Morning, everyone. Just get this on the right page. There we go. Right. In our Easter services, we began by affirming the faith we confess in the Apostles' Creed, that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, and that on the third day he rose again from the dead. And so our Easter theme was, we believe that a buried body began to breathe. But what happened after Easter? Our Lord, our risen Lord, hung around for another 40 days. We talk about the 40 days of Lent most years, but we don't often stand around thinking about the 40 days after Easter, and during that time, another 40 days before he returned to his Father. After 40 days of appearing to his disciples, the risen Jesus rose into heaven. This is commonly known as the Ascension. And so my theme for today is, we believe our animated advocate actually ascended. Most of the time in sermon prep goes into alliteration. What difference does the ascension of Jesus make to our Christian lives? Well, before we try to answer that question, let's ask God to guide and teach us this morning. Almighty God and Father, please again open our eyes that we may see your truth, open our minds to understand it, and open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. The book of the Acts of the Apostles is a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. Same author, same audience. Both begin with a message to Theophilus, the intended recipient of both books. As we heard in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, it says, In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day he was taken up to heaven. Luke ends his gospel with these words from Luke 24. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. Both phrases, taken up and carried up, express a passive involvement by Jesus. They describe what is happening to Jesus, rather than describing what Jesus is doing. We see something similar with the resurrection. Now, normally we say that Jesus rose from the dead, but the way it's described mostly in the scriptures is that God raised Jesus from the dead. Both are true. So the ascension and the resurrection are things that really happened to Jesus. But just think for a moment what it might mean for a person who knew the Jewish scriptures, as Theophilus obviously did, even though he may not have been a Jew originally, he knew the scriptures. Think what it might mean for a person who knew the Jewish scriptures to hear those phrases taken up or carried up. Go right back to the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verse 24. We read these words about Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more, because God took him. We go to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. God was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. In 2, 9 and 10, when they had crossed the river, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." And he responded, "You've asked a hard thing yet. If you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you." And 2 Kings 2:11, as they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. So Enoch and Elijah both ascended into heaven, yet both are described as being taken or taken up into heaven. Now, I think this image would not have been lost on Luke's readers and hearers. The other image that would not be lost on Luke's readers would be the image of Jesus ascending in a cloud with the promise that he would return in the same way. We heard that in Acts 1, 9 to 11. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going, they were gazing up toward heaven. Suddenly two men in white robes said to them, or stood by them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So going up in the clouds, returning on the clouds. So the vision and promise is that Jesus comes on the clouds of heaven. Why is that significant? Because of the vision of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, from verse 13. "As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being, or the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed." The Son of Man in Daniel's vision comes on the clouds of heaven and is given eternal kingship over all peoples for all time. When Jesus, who calls himself the Son of Man, ascends on the clouds of heaven, he comes into God's presence and is crowned with glory and honour and praise and power. Jesus is recognised and received as the King of the universe. Now, not that I've ever been there as a participant, but in the Olympic Games, I mean, the Greenwich Games are close, but in the Olympic Games, it is at the moment that a contestant wins the race and defeats all opponents that victory is achieved. But it is not until that contestant stands on the podium and receives the gold medal that victory is acknowledged. So Jesus achieves victory over Satan when he defeats sin and death on the cross. But it's only when he ascends into heaven that his victory is acknowledged and he is crowned as the eternal King. When we say the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed or any creed, we don't stop with the fact that Jesus ascended into heaven, end of story. We go on to say that he is seated at the right hand of the Father and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. Now, to be seated at the right hand of God, our Father, is a phrase that comes from Psalm 110. Verse 1, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." And that verse is quoted throughout the scriptures. It's quoted in Hebrews 1:13, as well as referred to in many other places. Speaking of Jesus, it says in Hebrews 1:3, "When he had made purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." In 12 verse 2 of Hebrews, it says, "We should look to Jesus who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." If you were to make me your right-hand man, then I am the person that you trust to help and support you in everything that you do. It's the position that both Potiphar and Pharaoh gave to Joseph and in Egypt, and it's similar to the position that was offered to Daniel by the king. God doesn't stop being God, and yet Jesus can say, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." The book of Revelation contains many references to the glory, honour and power that are given to Jesus as the Lion of Judah and the Lamb that was slain. But it is in Daniel's image of the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven to receive an eternal kingship that I believe Luke and most of his readers, that's what they would have had in mind when the ascension of Jesus occurs and is described in the way it happens. And it's described. But even more interesting is the promise from the angels that Jesus will return in the same way on the clouds of heaven. For after ascending to his throne as king, you have to ask, well, what's the point of returning? What unfinished business does Jesus need to complete? What's he want to come back for? So we go back to that scene in Daniel's vision in Daniel 7, 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. As I watched, the thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. The vision of the Ancient of Days, or the Ancient One, or God, is very similar to the picture painted of Jesus in the book of Revelation. Revelation 1, 12 and 14. Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me. And on turning, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed in a long robe, with a golden sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. And in Revelation 5:11, myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands worship him. Jesus, the Son of Man, takes on the role of the Ancient of Days. Remember the context of Daniel's vision? The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. This is Judgment Day. But now the Son of Man will return on the clouds of heaven with all power and authority, not just as the conquering king, but as the judge. Revelation 1:7 we read, "Look, he is coming with the clouds of heaven. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail." So it is to be. Amen. This was one of Paul's main arguments in bringing people to repentance. Acts 17, verse 30 says, "While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." We believe our risen Lord and ascended King is our returning judge. But wait, there's more. Let me go back to the ascension of Elijah. There we find another similarity to the ascension of Jesus. We read that Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion of his spirit. And without going into another sermon on what that means, let's just notice that Elijah needs to depart for Elisha to receive his spirit. Sound familiar? John 16:7. "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Because Jesus ascended into heaven, we can receive his spirit. Just as when Elijah ascended into heaven, Elisha received Elijah's spirit. Ascension Day was the time when God gave us our spiritual P plates. L plate drivers always need to have someone with them. But P plate drivers can be more independent. Companies like Deliveroo, Menulog, or Uber Eats, and if I've left one out, I apologise, they could not function if the owner had to physically be with each driver on their deliveries. So much more can be achieved if each driver can go out on their own, in the company's name and with the owner's authority. And that's what God does when he gives us his spirit. Jesus needed to ascend into heaven for the Holy Spirit to descend upon us. So what do we learn from all this? As Jesus was taken up by God, so too we have been lifted up with Christ, or in Christ. We have been brought from darkness to light. The Bible says we are new creations in Christ. And if you again know your Bibles, you'll know what happened at creation. There was darkness, and God said, "Let there be light." We are new creations, because we've gone from darkness to light. I only just picked that up this week, and it is marvellous in our eyes. We have been brought from darkness to light. We have been brought from death to life. We have been raised to new life, just like we've been made new creations. We've been raised to new life with Christ. And we've been brought from earth to heaven because we've ascended to be with Christ in heaven. This is one of Paul's all-encompassing passages which sums it all up for us. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and then 4 to 6. So Ephesians 2, verse 1 and then 4 to 6. You were dead through your trespasses and sins. And then verse 4. But God, one of the two best words in the Bible. Something happens, but God intervenes and does something. But God, who is rich in mercy, as we've seen through our incredible mercy series we've just had in Lent. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, John 3:16, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's all there, isn't it? God's love and grace and mercy, our salvation by God's grace when we are with Christ or in Christ, God's desire to save combined with his power to save, to bring us from death to life, to raise Christ and to raise us, to take Christ up to heaven as our ascended King and to place us right there with him in the heavenly places. Now, we have a lot of focus on the resurrection at Easter, and we can say that the resurrection of Jesus is the promise of our future. Because he is risen, so too will we be. But we can also say that the ascension of Jesus is the picture of our present. Resurrection, the promise of our future. Ascension, the picture of our present. For we wait for our resurrection. But we are, in some sense, with Jesus now. And the power that he gained... And the power that he gained from being at the right hand of God, he now passes on to us to enable us to be his witnesses and ambassadors in the world. So, I can't wait to come back after my long service leave to continue this story with the day of Pentecost, which will be brilliant because that flows so naturally on. And that'll be my first Sunday back in June. Just to remind you that during that time there won't be any communion services because we're having five guest preachers coming from North Sydney. But when I come back, first Sunday in June, Pentecost, we'll be able to continue this amazing story. And so I leave you in God's good hands, and I trust that our guest preachers over the next few weeks will not only be a blessing to you all, but that all of you will bless them with your prayers, encouragement and support as they train to become full-time servants of God's people. So to conclude, I just want to hear you reaffirm your faith. What do you believe? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. This is our faith, the faith of the church. Let's pray. Loving God and Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and saving us and reconciling us to yourself as sons and daughters in your family. May our lives bring you glory and honour in all we do and say, as we seek to follow Jesus Christ, your Son, our risen and ascended Lord and Saviour. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Our God has seen the glory of our Saviour.
To the disappointment of our parish councillors, we meet again tomorrow night to continue the great work that they do for you. And so continue to pray for us as we do that. And the other thing is that school holidays finish after tomorrow, and then we're back into school term time, which means Bible studies recommence, which means Grey Matters is on again this week, and all the other Tuesday night groups. And then, like I said, you'll be on your own and left in good hands for the month of May. And we appreciate the help from St. Thomas of North Sydney, who are sending five of their student ministers, five different guys, five sermons in a series on from Mark's Gospel about the King. And it's going to be good, and I encourage you to encourage them. I know I remember what it was like to be a student minister. I feel like it was only yesterday, but it's a daunting task, and every student minister starts with Mark's Gospel and talks about the King. So give them a chance and encourage them in their ministry and help them on their way to becoming faithful servants for God in the church. Are there any other notices that I was meant to give? And all the birthdays are next month anyway, so we can leave safely. Let's leave then as we go to morning tea and continue our fellowship together as God's people with this blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.